Before I begin, I just want to remind everyone that, you know, if you're a visitor or a guest here, you don't go to a lot of Lutheran services. We stand up a lot. We certainly do. We stand to sing. We stand to pray. We stand when the gospel is being read. We do that. And if there's anyone here, Lutheran or perhaps a guest that can't stand or otherwise can't, please feel free to sit down. That's not a problem. You are not committing any sin by doing that. God knows your hips and your knees and everything else. And God knows if you've got a good reason to be seated. God knows that. So don't feel that you have to do something because everyone else is doing it. That's not necessarily true. Do I have any fishermen in the audience today? Do I have any, or fisher people? I can't actually even say fishermen. Do I have any fisher persons in the audience today? People who fish? Yes, in the back. What kind of fish do you do, Scott?
Fresh and salt water.
Do you fly fish or do you, no? Okay. Fly fishing is a completely different thing too, isn't it? There's a certain skill in particular with fly fishing. But the kind of fishing that we're talking about this morning, the kind of fishing that the Galileans were doing, really wasn't with hooks the way we kind of think of fishing. It was with nets. And the Lake of Genesaret is also known as the Sea of Galilee. It's also known as the Lake of Tiberias. It has about six different names. What it is a decent-sized body of water. And if you lived in the Galilean area, it was likely that you were a fisherman because it was a good way of living. It was a good way to provide for your family, and it was a good way occasionally even to make some additional money, because there were fish there to be caught. The problem with fishing, however, is that you never know when you're going to have a good day and when you're going to have a bad day. And that's a problem. It seriously is. Most of the families that were involved with fishing realized that there were some days they were not going to get something to eat. And so if they were thinking clearly, they were either drying or salting their fish also for those bad days. In any case, we hear that our Lord appears beside the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds are pressing in on him, and he decides to do something. We think it's kind of odd, but I think it probably makes sense. Anyone here familiar with acoustics? It's always nice to have someone that's familiar with acoustics show up in the... Yes? Okay. In this gospel message, we are told that Jesus goes to a boat on a lake in order to speak to people. Does that make sense? Okay, I see a couple of nodding heads as though that's possible. Apparently, the acoustics are such there that he could speak better, he could be heard more easily, if he spoke from the boat than if he spoke on land. And so he does that. He asks a favor of a fisherman named Simon. Can I borrow your boat? Can I just go out there? I just need to speak to people. And so Simon agrees to do that. And when Jesus is finished speaking, he says to Simon something even more remarkable than "Can I borrow your boat?" He says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch," as if to say, "I know where there are fish. And if you go out into the deep water, you will make a great catch." Now, Simon recognizes that Jesus is not a fisherman. He's not dressed like a fisherman. I haven't seen him along the shore with the other fishermen. But he has a suggestion that's remarkable. Go out into the deep water, and you'll make a great catch. And then Simon, as much as says to him, and we hear it this morning, "Master, we've worked all night, and we've caught nothing." The Galilean fishermen typically went out to catch fish at night because it was cooler and it was easier to catch fish at night. I'm guessing they were closer to the surface. But he says to Jesus, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." Although they have caught nothing, Simon will listen to Jesus. And so they do. And so they go into the deep water, let down their nets, and all of a sudden, they're pulling up fish. Now, the boats that they had were fairly large, 13 to 15 feet long, 6 feet or so across. These were not little kayaks. These were big boats, usually with a crew of several members. To throw out a net and to pull it back in is not an easy thing to do. And yet they do as the Lord has suggested, and they begin to pull in an enormous catch of fish. So much so that another boat along the shore has to be asked to help them. I tend to think these boats worked in tandem with one another, probably stretching the net out between them. In any case, another boat must come again and help to pull in all these fish. And pretty soon, the fish filled both boats, so much so that they began to sink. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, that's a whole lot of fish. And that's such a miracle. Simon Peter falls down at his knees and says, "Go away from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man." He recognizes that something has happened here, which is a miracle only God or the Son of God could have done. And he recognizes his own sinful state. And all were amazed at the catch. Not only Simon, but all the other fishermen there too. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who we will hear at a later date. And Jesus, seeing Simon, says, "Do not be afraid, for now on you'll be catching people. You've been catching fish, but from now on you're going to catch people instead." You have to consider all of the people that Jesus called to be his disciples. And he called these people. He invited them into his ministry. And if you look at the 12 apostles, and the word apostle means sent, his 12 apostles are not learned people. They are not rabbis and chief priests and scribes and Pharisees. They are common people. And a matter of fact, in Galilee, you couldn't probably find anyone more common than a Galilean fisherman. They were dirty and they were rough. And they said what they thought. Peter will do that a lot of times through the Gospels. Peter will just say what he thinks, not hold a word back. And my guess is also that they were the kind of people who, although they are the salt of the earth, there are people who we probably wouldn't necessarily want to sit next to in church. Because they're a little grimy and sweaty. I don't know, they might say something inappropriate at times. They're common people, but they are the kind of people who God delights in. God delights in these people. The people who don't go to the synagogues regularly. The people who don't always do what they're supposed to do. The people who occasionally swear when it seems appropriate. I have to laugh at that, I'm sorry. These are the people that God really wants to be part of his mission and his ministry. These are the people who Christ calls out for. He calls out for people like Peter. Peter, who is not, he's not an ignorant man. He's just not book learned. He didn't go to the temple to learn all about the religion which he holds. He's learned his religion probably from his family, from what they said. He's a good man. But in the words of the people of his day, he's probably not someone whom other people would call godly. He's a good man, but he's not godly. This is the man that Jesus calls to be his disciple, to follow him. And there's great joy for us in that, because God continues to work through common people, not through extraordinary people necessarily, but through everyday people who are not perfect, who don't always do what is right, who don't always say the right thing at the right time, who don't wear the right kind of clothes, who are most likely in a crowd indistinguishable from everyone else. That's good news for us, because it means that God is willing to welcome us into his fellowship and into his ministry to do the things that need to get done. I have no doubt that Paul was a very effective fisherman. He used his talents and his skills and his abilities in ways that were very productive. And so when Jesus says, I want you to fish for people, I'm sure that when the time came, Peter was just as thoughtful and industrious and efficient in speaking the word of God. We see it in the book of Acts. Peter speaks the first sermon after Jesus' resurrection, and he keeps on talking. And people's lives are changed because the Holy Spirit comes to them as he continues to preach. In fact, in the book of Acts, we hear how when Peter preaches, 3,000 people come to be baptized at one time. Can you imagine that? In Jesus' day, it was even more amazing because there weren't that many people in towns. 3,000 people come to be baptized. The good news of this morning's gospel, at least for me, and that's certainly a message I want to share with you, is that whomever you are, whatever you are doing, whatever your life has been like up to this point, even if you can, like Simon, say, depart from me, Lord, for I'm a sinful man. All of us can say that, or a sinful woman. God can use you in his ministry to change lives. There's no one here today that cannot be a benefit to their brothers or sisters or neighbors or friends or to people at great distances by sharing the word of God, by sharing God's love for others, by recognizing our fellowship in Christ Jesus as one family. Everyone can participate. We hear, as the gospel concludes, that when the fishermen brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed. Sometimes faith demands us to make radical changes in our lives. Faith demands us to make radical changes in how we see things and how we do things. The fishermen of Galilee that followed Jesus made a radical change in their life. They left everything. Followed him. That didn't make any sense, but sometimes faith doesn't always make sense. Following the Messiah makes sense. My hope for us today, as we hear this message, we can hear Christ calling to us in our lives, and perhaps we can make some changes in our own life. Perhaps we can reach out to people whom we've ignored. Perhaps we can talk to people who've made us angry. Perhaps we can find new ways of extending God's love beyond our own family and friends to people who really need God's love. And there are a lot of them out there. May this word of God that we've heard today be a blessing to us. And may we be a blessing to those around us by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us to be fishers of men. Perhaps in this day and age, fishers of people. Because there's nothing as comforting as knowing that you're safe and sound. There's nothing as joyful as finding yourself in God's hands, enveloped by his love. Thanks be to God. Amen.